Welcome to Equiosity, the podcast about all things equine, with a special emphasis on the horse-human bond. My name is Alexandra Kurland. I'm the author of Modern Horse Training, A Constructional Guide to Becoming Your Horse's Best Friend, and many other books and DVDs about clicker training. And I'm joined by Dominique Day, one of the co-founders of Kavalia. This is part three of a four-part conversation with Svenja Sawinski. If you are a regular listener to the podcast, you know Dominique and I talk frequently about topics that come from the coaching sessions that are part of my online clinics. That's very much what led to this series with Svenja. Svenja is one of the regular attendees at these coaching sessions. She has a horse who has been giving her a master class in teaching stillness and relaxation. In part one, Svenja introduced us to Darian, her Arab Barb cross. She described her early attempts at clicker training with her older horse. Her older horse learned fast, but he ended up throwing behaviors at her. That's a very common problem when people are first trying to figure out clicker training. The horse ends up guessing, so they Rolodex through their repertoire to see what if they can figure out or find something that their person will click. So Svenja always felt safe with this horse because if he got too excited or he got confused, he would respond to pressure cues, so she could always move him out of her space. But Darian was different. In the balance between flight or fight, Darian would choose fight. And when he got confused, he could explode, he might rear or kick out, and he did not move away from pressure. Svenja lives in Germany, so she was able to enlist the help of Nina Steigerwald, a clicker trainer who specializes in horse agility, who showed her a very systematic way to teach Darian to stand still. The rates of reinforcement were much higher than anything that Svenja had been using, and they were high enough that Darian could be right, and he started to settle. The experience made a believer out of Svenja. She recognized that with clicker training, you could teach anything that you wanted. One of the core principles of clicker training is there is always more than one way to teach every lesson. I use a very different shaping strategy to introduce stillness from the one that Svenja described in part one. Both routes take you to the key core foundation lesson that I refer to as the grown-ups are talking, please don't interrupt. What Svenja is sharing is the development of grown-ups into Grand Prix level stillness. So however you introduce your horse to the grown-ups are talking lesson, those first early steps where you're on high rates of reinforcement, that is not where you're going to stay. You're going to be developing the grown-ups are talking much further, and that's the development of it is really what Svenja is sharing with us. So in part two, Svenja shared how she taught Darian how to settle and relax into stillness. And we ended with stillness becoming a default behavior. In part three, Svenja is going to expand on this to show you how you can use default behaviors to clarify your cues and further reduce frustration in your learners. We'll begin with a question Dominique asked at the end of part two, which was, how does a horse know if he's supposed to default into stillness or if he's supposed to offer other behaviors in an attempt to get you to click? In the absence of an active cue, default to the standing in stillness and relaxation.
So would you differentiate between a default behavior when you want that in this moment versus when you're in training mode and you want to teach the horse something new? And so you're waiting maybe for something he has not done yet. don't want the default behavior. You want him to solve a puzzle.
So before we get there, let's linger for a little bit over the default behaviors, because I think you probably, Svenja, have more to say about that. Darian, when in the absence of your asking for other things, he has learned to go into standing in stillness and relaxation.
So this again has different aspects. So one is during any work we do, the default behavior is standing on his 4 feet. Usually, if I would do rope handling or anything that is about teaching movement, I'm pretty much chaining together with our default standing still, actually grown-ups behavior in that case. So when we're concentrating on each other and working closely together, then I'd call it formal grown-ups,
Yes. Yes.
including a cue that is folding my hands
Yes.
in front of me. But that's the default behavior in a sense that nothing starts unless he's in that default position, and from that position, I cue him a different behavior. Go forward, go backward, move, bend into my rope signal, walk with me. Like, I'm only giving those cues into standing still.
Okay.
And I also, so with this horse, I do not feed in movement. We always stop for a treat. We're always like, it is our basic default behavior.
Okay,
Then
good.
I would usually place more than one click on the standing still. So even if I've only clicked once for whatever movement I was trying to teach, then I will click once, twice, three times for standing still in grown-ups. So there's a lot more reinforcement history on the standing still than on anything else.
Yes.
But I will also systematically, and I'm moving on to Dominique's question now. So when I'm teaching body part targeting, for example, so as soon as I feel he got the idea, I will start moving back into grown-ups in between to make that the contrast, like the opposite
Yes.
behavior I'm
Yes.
teaching. And I'm almost always using grown-ups for that, or standing still, as you would. So if I start doing leg lifts, for example, which is a really good example, because there again, Darian is a very, very eager learner. So I start seeing the movement of the leg moving up, and he will start to anticipate when I move my hand. It's not, I don't need to touch him anymore. I can't get
Right.
anywhere. Like, any movement I will do with my hand, he'll anticipate, oh, this is the hot behavior now. So I'm really, really systematic then about not moving too much, clicking for him not reacting, and then being very, very specific on what exactly is the cue. It's touching him in a certain place. And unless I've moved into that certain place, I'm very systematic on clicking grown-ups, on clicking standing still. So I touch him on his withers. He does not react. I click and treat. I move my hand somewhere else. He does not react. I click and treat. And I'm very, in various situations, I'm very systematically discriminating the cues from one another. So again, what I'm teaching there is not just the discrimination of what exactly is the cue for doing the leg flexions. What I'm also teaching is, when I move my hand across your body in whatever part, or if I'm just moving my hand next to you, I'm again really cueing standing still. So that's how various cues actually cue standing still, because that's the default behavior that is that is discriminated from very specific other cues.
Yes. And you're describing beautifully why I start out when I have people introduce, the grown-ups are talking, please don't interrupt. I start them out in a position of stillness in themselves, because most people are very busy in their bodies and they're not aware of what they're doing. And so they present a whole lot of noise that they're not even aware that they're presenting. But if you start out in stillness yourself, so you're standing shoulders over hips over feet, and you've folded your hands together, so we've given your hands some place to go, which also keeps your hands from pushing the horse's head away and your elbow from elbowing the horse away and all those other habit patterns that people often bring in from command-based training because the horse isn't supposed to be nudging them. We put the handler into stillness. Then when that person shifts, they are more likely to be aware that they moved. The horse is definitely going to be aware. But if you shift your balance forward and your horse starts to walk off, you're much more likely to be aware that, oh, I leaned forward and my horse responded by walking off. Maybe that's a great thing and I'll click and reinforce it. Or maybe that's not quite what I want. So let me rethink this a bit. But you're much more aware of what you are doing. So that when you start to do what you just described, you're doing it systematically and you're also doing it with awareness. So it becomes much easier for you to see what it is that the horse is picking out as the critical information. And do I want this to be part of the on switch? So if I move my hand up towards his withers and he gives me a leg flexion, I'm happy with that. Or do I want that to be part of the off switch where he goes into stillness? And in this case, you're saying, I want moving my hand up to his withers to be part of the off switch, not part of the on switch. And you have to teach that. Yes. So you, yes. Yeah. And the grown-ups is, I mean, it's just such a phenomenal base position punctuation that you're really making sure that you are putting the periods at the end of your sentences and pausing there, lingering there. And this is one of the things that I'm so pleased as I'm watching the people who are going through the online clinics, that I'm seeing this, you know, that this really systematic, quiet, aware, deliberate handling is emerging. And part of the reason it's emerging is because in the coaching sessions, you're all watching one another and you're seeing, oh, look at how nice that looks when the person takes the time to pause in grown-ups and reinforces the grown-ups and doesn't just dash on to the next thing, but takes that time that the horse needs to solidify. And now we'll do another little unit. And then we'll solidify. And then we'll do another unit. It's very, very pretty handling. And I know from the outside looking in, some people would say, oh, well, that would just make me tense. You know, all of that pausing in stillness. I want to be active. I want to be the kid in the playground climbing the jungle gym. I don't want to be standing there breathing and practicing my yoga breathing. I want to be out there running around. And it's like, but when you start building this systematically, it just feels so good. And it becomes the way you do things.
And you can have both. And that's a good feeling that you can have. And we've talked about this too during another podcast, but that you could have the energy and you can stop the energy.
Yes.
Because that's really important too. You know, because if you, it's easy to get an animal over aroused. And with a horse, a big animal like that, you want to have that off switch of the energy.
Yes.
But it's great to know that you can pause and you can go right back into that energy.
But we have to train it, and we have to train it systematically. You have to teach how to get up in your energy, and then also how to come down in your energy.
So that you know, it's that expression, you can't ask for something and expect to get it on a consistent basis unless you've gone through a teaching process to teach it to your horse. Darian can get very excited. And Darian can also fall asleep. If you had a video camera watching his behavior 20 around the clock, you would see that there would be times that he's asleep. You know, it's nap time, he's falling asleep. And there might be other times where he would be showing a lot more energy. But can you ask for energy and get it on a consistent basis when you're asking for it? And can you ask him to settle and relax when you ask him for it? That's the training process.
And it's I want to emphasize how good it feels, because it, like, for a trainer, I would say I can speak for most positive reinforcement trainers. We do like to be in control. At least I do. And at first, clicker training does not feel like you're in control, especially when you've taught movement behaviors and your horse is really trying what makes you click and what makes you give him the reinforcement that he very much wants to have. And this is a behavior that makes you feel safe and in control. Like, from that baseline, you can ask for anything. And if you feel confident that you can go back to this baseline, that makes you feel very good. And I especially notice that with whenever, so Darian and I, we have this very strong connection by now. But when I'm working with other horses and I'm standing next to other horses, it's really amazing how much you can get used to this good feeling. It just becomes your own baseline. And then you get a horse that is falling over you, that cannot stand still, that is always in your space, that will nudge you with the nose. We have one particular horse in the herd. You're moving through the herd and it's just, you know, you just want to say, get off me, because they don't, it's actually that he doesn't know how to move his body properly and what a still base position would be. He's just there and he's too close, and you can get very, very used to this comfortable, this is my space, this is your space, you're relaxed, you're confident that I don't want anything from you right now. You're like, this is a very, very nice feeling.
Yes.
And it's, if it weren't for conversations like this, I would probably not notice it, because it's one of these things that are not fancy.
Yes.
But people do comment on it. So I know that other people at our stable do not understand what I'm talking about when I say this horse can be a helicopter outside. And he does become dangerous when he becomes frustrated, but people only notice, but he's this polite, relaxed horse that is always a pleasure to be around. He's just...
You're so lucky that you have such a relaxed, calm horse. I wish my horse was as calm and settled as Darian, but you're so lucky that genetically, somehow... or when he became eight, he just, you know, horses do that, they relax. My 8-year-old didn't, but you know, yeah.
But it's good for people to know that where they start is not at all where they're going to end up. You know, someone asked me about clicker training a while ago, and when we started working with her horse, like, she came from a traditional type of training. And so we talked, you know, in theory before we went to the barn to her horse. And I could see that she was flabbergasted by the number of treats I was giving to her horse. And she was like, oh my God, I did not expect so many treats.
Yeah.
And I said to her, don't worry, you won't stay there. This will evolve over time. And, you know, at a certain point, the horse. And I guess this is why protected contact is so important in the beginning. But even with protected contact, in the beginning, we use a very high rate of reinforcement. When we teach a new behavior, we use a very high rate of reinforcement. And, you know, when your belief is not that food is legit, that food is good, that, you know, when your beliefs are more, let's say, lukewarm towards food, it can be a turnoff.
Well, this is one of the challenges of giving demos to the general public of here's how you start a horse with clicker training. And I remember doing a demo, this was years ago, at the equine affair. And I had a horse who was brand new to clicker training. And I'm doing, grown-ups are talking, and I'm on a high rate of reinforcement. So, you know, yes, I'm clicking and I'm giving the horse a treat, and I have a piece of duct tape on the back of my non-feeding hand so that if I can get my feeding hand to touch the piece of duct tape before the horse has moved out of that grown-ups are talking position, I can click and give another treat, which is one of the ways that you train yourself to have clean handling skills so that you're not reaching into your pocket ahead of the click and blowing the meaning of the click. But I'm on a high rate of reinforcement, and then I see the horse hesitate just a little bit. So now I can slow down my click just a little bit, and the horse has come over, maybe left that perfect position, come over and nudge my hands a moment, and then deliberately moved its head back to that 12 o'clock position. And I was like, oh, wasn't that cool? And you see how deliberate the horse was in moving its head back. And as I was thinking about this demo afterwards, I was thinking, you know, that cowboy, that horse person who's sitting up in the top row of the bleachers up there, all he's seeing is that I'm shoveling food at a horse.
I had exactly the same feeling, because for me, in a session that probably lasted, I don't know, less than 5 minutes, this horse was brand new. Yeah. He had never done clicker training. In one session, he got it. He got it before the session was ended.
Yes.
He got it almost right away. He was so smart. You know, for me, it was like, wow, this horse. Yeah. We used kind of a picnic table because she didn't have protected contact. We were outside. So we used a picnic table so that I would have, you know, something between us.
Right.
I thought, wow, this horse is so smart. He got it so quickly. He's so motivated. What a great subject. And I know that for her, it was just like, oh my God, so much food. How am I going to?
You've just been feeding my horse for 10 minutes, and now I have to exercise him for 1.5 hours to get all those calories off.
Expected. You know, she didn't expect, because she has seen me work with my horses, and you know, it's not as like a fire gun. You know, we're not there. We're somewhere else now, but her horse is starting, and so you know, he didn't even know what a click was, and you know, by the end of it, he knew that a click announced some food. He had learned lots of stuff in those few minutes. But so she wasn't expecting to see so many reinforcement, you know, and I obviously for her, it wasn't good. It was like, how am I going to work with this? How am I going to ride with this? So it was kind of, I could see that it was kind of a turn up. And I thought, you know, you start from the beliefs, right? If you believe food is not a legitimate training tool, like that cowboy, well, that's, we can't go any further.
Yeah, because he didn't see, I'm sure, you know, I'm not sitting next to him to say, so what did you see? But I would be fairly confident in saying he did not see or did not understand the significance of that horse very deliberately moving his nose away from my hands. He would not have seen it as a deliberate action. He would not have seen it as, oh, the horse is getting this. And he doesn't He doesn't know what the future is. So it makes it harder for him. And you really have to say, you know, full marks to everybody who stays the course, as it were, with the early stages of clicker training, because you're asking for things, you know, targeting, where people say, oh, you know, I'm a dressage rider. What's targeting got to do with anything that I want to do with my horse? Or teaching stillness. Well, yeah, you can see the value of having a horse stand still, but, you know, all this food.
But I feel like, especially with targeting, it's a lot easier to explain to people what you will be able to do with that. While with standing still, I think there are so many aspects. So one is you do not immediately see that it's the baseline for everything else that you're doing, for everything. Part is because of what you said earlier about teaching a horse to stand still in a traditional pressure release way. Like my older horse, he's got a lot of history of standing still. And how did I teach him? Every movement was punished.
Yeah.
So you get that quite fast. And the horse relaxes into that as well as soon as you don't cue him anymore, because now the pressure is gone and I know I'm quite safe as long as I'm standing still, as long as she doesn't give a cue anymore.
Right. And command. You're going to be working me really hard. I'm going to be sweating in a few minutes. So I better take advantage of the fact that I'm standing still.
Yes.
To just really settle.
And
conserve my energy.
Yes. So one part, I think, is also apart from all the food that you're feeding the horse, is making people understand that all of a sudden standing still is a very difficult behavior to teach, to maintain, and to really include into your work. But I also think, and that's another part, as I learned while I'm teaching students as well, just like Dominique, you were working with that new horse,
a friend. You know, she's just mm-hmm. a friend. You know, she's heard me. She knows who I am, where I stand, and she had gotten this new horse, and she thought, this one, I'm going to start him with this positive reinforcement training. But this woman, she's, you know, in her 50s, and she's had horses all her life. And she's, you know, she's a nice person. And she's not doing anything professional, but she's a pretty good rider. You know, she can go on all the roads in the country. She's riding her horse everywhere. She's not afraid. And so she's a good rider, you know. But she wanted to start this horse like this. But I think, so she asked me, she said, oh, I want you to see him and maybe we can do a little bit with him. And I said, okay.
And then you're starting out and it, like, from the outside, if you don't know what you need to look for, it looks like feeding. While what you're doing is you're doing a very nuanced teaching on grown-ups or standing still. But you have the skills in place that you can do that with a high rate of reinforcement and with these very, very small steps, with these nuances that you need to get the right behavior fast. And that, again, makes it look very unspectacular and easy from the outside.
Good point.
So that's one part. So what I've learned is, as soon as I, you know, I've demonstrated, look, this is how you're doing. I'm sure Alex has experienced the exact same thing. This is how you're doing it. Look, your horse is standing still. Now, all you have to do is stand still next to the horse, click in the right moment before you start reaching into your pouch. Then you have to get out exactly the right amount of treats. Then you have to turn to your horse. You have to move the hand into exactly that position where you want your horse to be in. And then you have to go back into stillness. And all of that makes a mess out of the thing, because people did not expect that all of this is very difficult to do in the right pace, in the right sequence, while they are not prompting their horse to move.
Add to the equation a young 3-year-old stallion who has never been in contact with food like this, okay? And he very quickly understands that his behavior will influence the food. That's a smart horse, right?
Yes.
And he's controlling himself because he really wants the food. And yet, you know, he's young, he really wants it. He's super excited about the food. And yet, in a matter of 2 minutes, he controls himself because he understands that if he puts his head between his shoulders, that will pay off and not the rest. And he tries stuff, right? He tried to for a few seconds. And for her, it was like, oh my God, you know, there's so much excitement. And all I could see was, wow, how quickly this young horse is getting it.
Yeah.
So we weren't seeing the same things.
And when you think about what a great gift that is in terms of his training, because he's learning to modify his behavior in a way that's, from our point of view, really constructive. And we're using something that is initially a huge distraction, which is food.
Yes.
And
but I wouldn't redo it the same way, I have to say. I would modify a little bit I wouldn't say yes to just being outside and starting
right.
a course like, you know, and then, oh, there's a picnic table, we'll use it. I would never do this again, you know, even for a friend.
You're learning the value of those, of all of the constraints that I put into the beginning
oh, yes.
of the process.
Oh, yes.
And then
I was thinking about you all the time. I thought, she's been doing all this for nothing, you know, she's
yeah.
been through this.
Yeah. And then, Svenja, when you're describing, you know, it's great to let people have a try. And then they discover that, wow, there are a lot of details that I have to keep track of. And that's when you say, well, let's let the horse have some hay and go over and without the horse go through the process so that those details become really comfortable and you can remember to click in a timely fashion and reach into your pocket and feed and present the food where the perfect horse would be and all of those things so that when you go back to the horse, it can look beautifully seamless and you're not building in the unwanted emotional behaviors that can occur when the handler is inconsistent.
We'll end here with this appreciation of Grand Prix level stillness and all that it creates. I love taking the time to appreciate what I call the small things, though they are anything but. Often when I'm browsing through websites, I'll see images of horses doing big, fancy behaviors. The spectacular draws us in. High energy draws us in. But for me, it is only beautiful if it is done with the horse and for the good of the horse. Much of the training that I really enjoy watching falls into the category of turning the ordinary into the extraordinary. Watching someone cleaning their horse's feet doesn't sound that captivating. It's an everyday, basic husbandry behavior. And it's certainly not very captivating when the horse is on cross ties and the handler is prying the horse's foot up off the ground, something I've seen far, far too often. But when you watch a horse bring himself into a balanced stance that makes it easy for him to pick up his feet. And then the handler waits while the horse lifts his own foot and then brings it to the handler's waiting hand and leaves it in that supporting hand. That's captivating video because you're watching a rich conversation. And that's turning the ordinary into the extraordinary. That's what we're doing when we pay attention to the small details and when we listen to our horses. I want to remind people that while these podcasts provide much rich training details, they are not intended as an instruction guide to clicker training. Especially if you are new to clicker training, I want to encourage you to be very systematic, especially in the beginning steps, and I want to encourage you to pay attention to your own handling details and your own body awareness, because it makes a difference to our horses. And so, as always, I'm going to refer you to my website, theclickercenter.com, where you will find the books, the online courses, the links to the blog, and so on, all these resources, which are there to support your learning. I want you to be successful with clicker training, and I want you to have fun with your horses. Every horse is a great teacher. We have only to listen to them to become the partners they need us to be. Train well and have fun with your horses.